Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Today we continue our series of conversations with the candidates vying to be Tulsa's next mayor. Tuesday, August 25th is election day for both municipal elections in Tulsa for mayor and city council seats, as well as the state Democratic and Republican runoff elections for their nominations for the upcoming legislative election in November. Earlier we spoke with mayoral candidates Craig Immel and Greg Robinson. Today, my guest is Ty Walker. Walker is a lifelong Tulsan, a 1983 graduate of McLean High School, and is a U.S. Navy veteran who served during Desert Storm. He's a local businessman and restaurateur who grew up working in his family restaurant businesses, notably Evelyn's. Walker owns and operates Wanda J's Next Generation Restaurant in the Greenwood District and another location at the American Airlines facility. This is his first attempt at elective office. You can learn more about his candidacy and positions at his website, tywalkerfortulsa.com. He joins me today to discuss his candidacy to become Tulsa's next mayor today on Studio Tulsa. Mr. Walker, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Give us a sense of why you decided to run for mayor.
Well, to bring a vision of calmness, understanding, and unity, you know, and moving forward, a vision of moving forward as a Tulsa as a whole, as one Tulsa, like, you know, North Tulsa, South Tulsa, East Tulsa, West Tulsa, but Tulsa as a whole, to move forward, you know, together as one.
You mentioned a sense of calm. Right now things are anything but calm. What do you hope to provide that sense of unity and moving forward for the city?
Well, to change a man's heart is always to change his economic situation. I honestly believe that it always comes down to education, economic development, economic prosperity. And it's not always, you know, monetary. You know, we always hear economics, we think about money. But it's, you know, just living conditions and being able to be in your own neighborhood and being able to provide for your family by being in your own neighborhood. It's like having grocery stores, department stores, places to spend time at family time together, things like that. That's all in economics. And so we need to bring that vision and that part to all of Tulsa.
Well, you're a local business owner. You run a small business and a restaurant. That must have been a major decision in deciding to run for mayor.
It is, but at the end of the day, I've always been a person to grow, you know, to always reach, you know, everything that I have inside of me, be able to use it. And so, you know, I have six daughters, you know, they're all of age now, and most of them really runs the restaurant now. You know, even with me not really being there every day, you know, they're at a point now where they can honestly do from top to bottom, you know, and so I'm having being able to work every day, but, you know, having, you know, people around me that's able to carry on without me being there. And so I've raised them in it, you know, and I, you know, gave them, you know, in life, you know, in old times, you know, that's what people had farms and businesses and things like that for, was to raise their families and maybe give their families a vision of work ethic and understanding work ethic and things like that. And that's how most companies was really started. It was started, you know, for what we call mom and pop operations. And, you know, and the generations that go through, and each generation expanded on the family business. And that's what, you know, they're doing now. You know, they've taken it to another level that I didn't really have a desire to do. That's through, you know, the internet, things like that, you know, and added, you know, more than just cooking food, you know. So, you know, they're moving on forward.
Let's talk about whoever is the next mayor. The immediate priority in the very first months will be managing the city's response to COVID-19 and the continuing pandemic. What are your views on protecting both public health and the economy?
Well, I've been honest from the beginning. I really wouldn't have never shut down, be honest about it. You know, to take in this shut down a person's life, you know, stop them being able to provide for themselves and, you know, relying on government to take care of them. And then at the end of the day, government is not there. And so you look, you know, through the hassle of being able to get unemployment runs out, and then we close down businesses and we, you know, most small business owners, things like that, don't get unemployment because they own the business. And so, you know, to take and just, I guess not really destroy, but not have an understanding of what's really going on, even at the highest level from the federal government. Nobody, to this day, we still are undecided what is what. We have no really understanding, you know, when it's over, when it's not going to be over, who's in charge, who has the best way to go. You know, so with that being said, I would have never shut down. Even if I was president or governor or mayor, I would have never shut down.
Well, let me ask you, at the time that we did shut down, public officials were worried about hospitals without the proper amount of equipment to care for patients, for patient loads that would overwhelm the system.
Well,
would you be prepared to deal with that?
Well, that comes with me understanding that being in the military, right? Being in the military, you're always prepared to go. Every day you know, being in a ship, Marines, I was a Navy guy, so I was on the ship, Army, Marines, everybody, all the branches the same way. Every morning you get up, you're always getting prepared to go because you never know when you'll go. So you're always preparing to go. And so that's what a leader does. And so with that being said, past presidents and things like that up to date, politicians never are really ready to go, okay? They only look, you know, what's at hand now, and they never really prepare for what's really we need to be prepared for. So I understand what you're saying, but with me, you know, I'm always going to be ready to go, always be prepared, because we never know what tomorrow's going to bring. And so we have to always be prepared for that. But when we look, even with everything that was going on, even when we decided we need to do this and get things done, you know, the president that we have now, we started getting things done. And so we started getting things done when we got the people in place and understood what we needed to have and get things done. It started taking off. And so I understand what you are saying, but, you know, that would have been my decision. You know, I can't base it up on nobody else, hindsight 2020 or Monday morning quarterback and none of that stuff. At the time, when everything went down, I would have, you know, I did like, you know, I'd have stopped all flights from coming in. You know, no flights from any other parts of the world. So the simple fact is they don't have the medical or the health rules and regulations, things that we have or that we have in the United States of America. So those things I did for sure. But at home, I wouldn't have, you know, cut us off at home.
Okay. Well, let me stop you there for just a second and just say the next mayor is going to be dealing with this on an ongoing basis. If you saw a huge spike in cases where the hospital system was perhaps on the verge of not being able to handle the number of cases, you would do nothing to change Tulsa's behaviors?
Okay, looking on now, what I'm saying, when the mayor here closed down, you know, restaurants and bars, things like that first, you know, another week or so before he went to tie shops and everybody else, I voiced my opinion against that. If we was all going to shut down, everybody should have shut down. That's the way I look at it.
Okay.
If we all go sacrifice, we all should sacrifice. Even government officials. No government officials, city officials, anybody like that lost a paycheck. They didn't have to stand on the employment line. And that's not fair. So, but with that being said, I'm going to leave that alone for now. But all I'm saying, when all of it went down, all the grocery stores was empty. I mean, everybody was in the grocery store, standing tight, military style. Nobody had masks on. Nobody had gloves on. The deaths didn't never take off. Nobody, it never got overwhelming. It never got to a point where we couldn't handle it. Even before, and then when we saw it, we put the social distancing in place, closed stuff down, put social distancing in place like that. It never took off any. It never took off. I always kept saying, well, we want to flatten the curve. But with all that before it happened, nothing ever got out of hand. Okay? Then we come back, Walmart, everybody started wearing masks and gloves. Then all of a sudden, it spiked up again. But at the same time, why did it? I mean, why would it spike up when we start putting all the measures in place? And then when we open back up, then we go to a mask mandate. And so I'm looking now. I see numbers going up. The deaths are down. I think the other day was just four deaths. yesterday, day before yesterday. Okay, but so, and then how are we counting those things like that? I really believe the true information is not really been put forth to the people.
Okay.
Because, you know, I'm just being honest with you guys. I can't change it. I'm just telling you, I wouldn't be doing it.
Okay. All right. Well, let's leave it there. My guest today is Ty Walker. He's a local business owner of Wanda J's Next Generation Restaurant, one of the candidates to become Tulsa's next mayor. As we continue our series of conversations with Tulsa's mayoral candidates. So leaving that aside, what is the most important issue that you would confront and try to solve if you were elected mayor, Mr. Walker?
The economic situation. We have North Tulsa, West Tulsa, and East Tulsa is really underwater, okay? And so we have one district, which is District 7, is the highest sales tax producing district that we have right now, okay? And what happens is that side of town is packing the load for the rest of the city just about, okay? So you have other districts helping, but when you have West Tulsa, which West Tulsa is part of District 2, North Tulsa, District 1, and then part of it is District 3, and then you have East Tulsa, and so I believe that's what District 6, I think I'm getting it right.
District 6.
And so when you have those parts of the city that's, you know, where East Tulsa is still kind of going, but it's on the verge of being gone. So at the end of the day, you have all that parts of the city that's basically underwater. It's not producing any revenue for the city. And so what happens is our water rates, trash rates, sewer rates, all that stuff keep getting raised to cover those areas that are not producing any sales tax. You know what I'm saying? So we end up paying more in taxes. Then all those little packages, the vision packages, and their sale penny tax and all that stuff, all that is a tax on the people that just producing income because the rest of the city is not. That's what that really comes out to be. We put little cute names on it to try to, you know, sauce it up to make it sound like it's, you know, grand old opera, but at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to being. A tax on the rest of the people, but the other parts of the city not producing any income for the city. So with that being said, I have plans in place. I have people already in place, and we're going in boots on the ground, and all it takes is some dedication and for realness to be, you know, to get it done. It's not rocket science. It's just the ideal of people willing to get it done.
Give us a sense of how you would build up businesses and that sales tax revenue that you're talking about on the north side, on the west side, on the east side.
Well, see, we everybody keeps saying that North Tulsa, West, you know, we always try to put the high crime rate in those areas, right? But when you talk to the managers, the Walmart Admiral Memorial, the manager at the Walmart, you know, over in Sand Springs and things like that, when you ask them the demographics of the people they're stealing, it astonishes you with people, well, you wouldn't even believe it. And so, but what happens is we end up punishing the good people in those areas for the few bad people that we have. That's what I'm getting at. We can't keep doing that. And so, just imagine this. This would have nobody from North Tulsa, nobody from West Tulsa, even crossed 21st Street to stop shopping for 1 week. Just imagine that. Just for 1 week, you had West Tulsa and North Tulsa stop shopping 21st Street South. Wouldn't go nowhere near it for 1 week. There's been no money out that way. What do you think would happen to it?
What do you think would happen?
It'd cripple it. It would cripple it because they're not spending money in those businesses out that way.
Well,
so if income in those areas, okay, why not put things in those areas to help people build up that area? Because look at the sales tax. Look at how the property tax and things that we get for the schools, things like that, funding for the schools and stuff. The property value and property tax value in North Tulsa. That's why schools, Tulsa Public Schools is the biggest district that we have, 13 districts in Tulsa County. Tulsa Public Schools is number one in the largest, and we're number one underwater. That's crazy. That's not right.
You do have a plan on your website called No Side of Tulsa Left Behind,
right?
And it talks about economic development issues and small business support. What are some of your ideas of creating economic development, small business support, working to put citizens back to work? You've got some ideas. Could you share?
Right now, I have a Scott Giesel, Giesel, the CEO for Gateway Mortgage Bank, which is the governor's bank, right? We've talked a couple of times, and so we have a, I have gave him some information and a plan or two to see if we'd be able to come in and use private people, private, get government out of the way, because there's never a government program that ever worked, and actually come in and take people in those areas that's willing to invest and start a company, okay, and put them on the path to start their business in those areas. Not giving it to them, but helping put them on the path to get it done. All they need is the opportunity, okay? And so I have a plan. I mean, it's little simple things like that. Just having people willing to work in the private sector with those other people in the private sector to get something done. Common people to come together to common goals. Basically, that's what it is. You know, I have people to own a dry cleaning plant, you know, in this town. They're willing to come in and help franchise, help a person take over a dry cleaning plant, put a dry cleaning plant in North Tulsa. Things like that. Private citizens with private citizens coming together and putting something in the government out of the way.
I want to ask about what other aspect of that no side of Tulsa left behind is your transportation.
Transportation system. It's crazy. Well, you know, we had, listen to this. 66th Street, the industrial park over there, right? You have Nordam, Whirlpool, and Macy's over there.
Right.
Somebody else over there. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you don't even have a bus going into the area. And so when you talk about people not being able to get to work, okay, so you think about people that need those jobs paying $15, $16 an hour, right? Even though me in the restaurant business, that's my market of people that, you know, I need to have working for me. But when you have some that don't have a driver license or not able to afford a car, insurance and things like that, those, you know, things that we need to be being able to get back and forth to work on, we don't have those resources at that point. We're not able to work, dating and things like that to keep them things up. But if we have the public transportation system, but it takes them 2.5-3 hours to get from North Tulsa to South Tulsa on the bus. You see what I'm saying? And so we need to streamline that. It needs to be direct routes on each major road, direct routes. A bus leaves North Peoria, 56th Street, 66th Street, and go all the way to Riverside, turn around and come back, back and forth, cross section, same way. And so, and how, you know, transferring like that where we're not taking 2 or 3 buses to get south. You know, I rode a bus a couple of weeks ago just to see what was going on from my house at 31st Memorial to Greenwood to the restaurant. It's not even a bus go down Greenwood. You have 2 schools there, OSU and Langston. You don't even have a bus going in front of them. It let me off at Pan and Carver. I had to walk down Greenwood to get to the restaurant. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, you know, a person wake up in the morning with a flat tire, don't have, can't really wait on AAA for an hour and a half, have a flat tire, but need to get to work. How do they go get to work? They can't take the bus.
You're asking something that nothing but money could solve to have more.
No, it's not. It's not really the money. See, we keep all we do is tweak it. The money is there, but we have bus routes where 1 or 2 people is not even getting on the route. You know, on the bus, we just got it going because it sounds good. Like we need something going that way. Okay, it's not even a bus coming down to Mingo. And you got the bus plant and American Airlines right here. That's not even a bus come down for people that's working. They don't even have a bus come down to Mingo. The people that's making those decisions don't ride the bus. Never have been on the bus. Don't have many have an understanding what it takes to use the bus to get back and forth to work on. So, I mean, we need to fix our public transportation system. Okay. That's simple as that.
My guest is Ty Walker. He's one of the candidates vying to become Tulsa's next mayor as we talk with the mayoral candidates leading up to the August 25th primary. He's my guest today on Studio Tulsa. I'd like to ask you to consider what your most important attributes would be that would be an asset to citizens and important if you were to be the mayor in your work in heading up city government. What would you say your attributes, or what do you want voters to know about yourself in helping them make their decisions?
Being in the military, you know, being on baseball teams, basketball teams, football teams, being in the military, understanding what a team concept is. We have people from all walks of life in the military. Having that quality of being in the military and understanding that regardless of whatever demographic the person come from, whatever their race is and like that, that you have to rely on them and they rely on you, not based up on, you know, if we from the same town or whatever, but knowing that I got your back just like you got my back. And I have that ability to do that. You know, we all, y'all hear people say, I want to build a bridge. I'm already crossed the bridge. I don't have to build a bridge. You know, I've lived on both sides of the bridge. So I understand what that being on that bridge is. I don't have to build it. I've already crossed it. And so I have that ability to bring people together. Where can we go to get things done? And rely on each other, regardless of, you know, if you donated to my campaign, if you didn't vote for me, that don't bother me. My thing is, how can we get this solved to take the pressure off everybody? That's what I have. I don't have, you know, I don't belong to nobody, really. I even told a couple of people I talked to in front of in Republican groups that I chose the Republican Party based upon the foundation principle that it was built upon. Republican Party to choose me. So I don't own, you know, nobody owns me. I don't belong to nobody, but I, you know, I make my own decisions. So that's where that comes in. You don't, I'm not tied to a left arm or right arm of this person, that group. You know, I'm tied to those who's getting things done. That's where I'm going. And so I have the ability to do that. I've been in the restaurant business since I was 8 years old. I've served all kinds of people. You cannot be in the restaurant business, not be able to be with all kinds of people. Been in the military, all kinds of people, all walks of life. And so, to me, every president, senator, congressman, mayor, governor, legislator, to me, the requirement to be something like that has to be either military background or played on a sports team some kind of way. If a person's never been really involved in relying on somebody else to do their job, that, you know, it's like not having that the relationship of knowing that, okay, you're not the quarterback, but you're the guard on the line, and your job just as important as a quarterback. So you don't have that team concept of being able to work and build and have one common goal of winning with a team concept versus just being around people that's like you. If you have a team of all the quarterbacks, how do you win? You know, Magic Johnson, years ago, he said when he was I was young when he said it, but he said he used to go to the gym. And he didn't pick, when he picked the team, he didn't get all the best people in the gym. Because, you know, we used to go in the gym, we pick, you know, four guys get together, five guys get together, we pick a team. But he didn't pick all the best shooters and all. You know what I'm saying? He picked different guys, had different abilities. And they would win. And I used to do that when I would go to the gym. I knew what I did. I knew what the other guy had with me. Another guy had me. So I would pick two different other guys. I didn't pick the best superstars. I didn't have a team full of superstars. But we would always win.
I just want to ask you a few more questions in our mm-hmm. remaining time. And one has to do with the equality indicators, which Mayor Bynum has put into place, where you're collecting data to identify areas of disparity and inequality. Would you continue to use that data, and how would you use that data for your decision-making if you were mayor?
My point exactly. If you've never been on that side of the track, you never understand what that side of the track is. I don't need those indicators because I've been on that side of the track. I don't need nobody to come in and tell me that's what that is.
Okay, even though they're polling people, they're polling citizens.
Well, see, what I'm saying, if you look, they're not in North Tulsa polling those people in North Tulsa. They're not. They're not polling the people in East Tulsa. They're not polling the people in West Tulsa. I guarantee you, if you look at the people they're polling, I guarantee you, 9 times out of 10, most of them go have a college education, okay? Most of them go be in the corporate world. They're not really those who are self-employed, okay? Because we don't look at those who are self-employed or those who really don't have an education. We always think the people with those other assets, education, corporate jobs, things like that, they know better than everybody else.
Okay. Very quickly.
I wouldn't use them because I eat at the local Waffle House. You know, I go to the local warehouse market. I'm in them with them every day, so I see what we need and what we don't need.
Okay.
You know, I see it every day.
Policing in the community. you know, there's talk of trying to get a citizen oversight program. Or do you support a citizen oversight program for
No. Why would we oversee the same system? It should be one system downtown with the government, the police and fire, any city employees. Hiring and firing, guys.
How would you work as mayor to improve relations between police? And frankly, there are areas of the community where police are mistrusted. How would you change that?
You can't have trust in the community when 80% of your police officers don't even stay in the city of Tulsa. You see what I'm saying? They stay in other cities and other communities. They don't stay in the city of Tulsa. 80% of our police officers stay outside the city of Tulsa. So how do you have community policing, or how do they have a relationship with those officers if you don't even stay in their neighborhoods or even in their city? That's number one. Number two, you have the FOP and a Black Officers Union, right? So if we one team, why would we have two separate unions? That's like having a prenuptial agreement when you go get married. What are you getting married for? You know what I'm saying? I'm a common sense guy looking at a common sense way.
Okay.
We have to change those things. You can't. That's all it is. That's it.
My guest today, Ty Walker. He is running for mayor of the city of Tulsa. He's a local business owner. He owns Wanda J's Next Generation Restaurant. We're about out of time. Why should voters cast their ballots for you on August 25th, Mr. Walker?
I'm the only mayoral candidate today that ever lived on both sides of the tracks. I'm the only mayoral candidate that has experience worldwide. I've seen, you know, it's crazy how, you know, being in other parts of the world, other countries, and understanding what we have here at home. Understanding that everything that I have, the life America has given to me, and everything has made me to the man I am today, the city of Tulsa has given me. So I'm here to give back, because everything I've gotten has come from the city of Tulsa. Even the business I own is made by the citizens of Tulsa, Wanda J's. It wouldn't be no Wanda J's without the citizens of Tulsa. So I'm coming to give back what I've been given, the opportunities I've been given from the city to give back to the city. So others can have the same opportunity that the city gave me. And that's why I'm running for mayor. That's why I want to be the next Tulsa mayor, because I have the ability, the understanding, and those around me are able to get the job done. Boots on the ground. Not boots in the seat, but boots on the ground.
All right.
That's me.
Ty Walker, thanks very much for speaking with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ty Walker is my latest guest in our series of conversations with Tulsa's mayoral candidates. Walker is a local businessman, the owner of Wanda J's Next Generation Restaurant. You can learn more about his candidacy at tywalkerfortulsa.com. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.